to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker Campbell, good evening and welcome into the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, where we always deliver the biggest and the very best in sports. We are inside the Quicken Loans studios tonight, and we're getting ready to kick off our coverage with discussing the 2015 NFL Draft, perhaps the most important day of the NFL season as it got underway on Thursday night. It is such an honor to have back with us legendary NFL coach, the great Dick Vermeil. Meal, of course, is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Welcome back, Dick.
Oh, hey, nice to be with you.
Of course. Well, we definitely wanted to have you back on the show and to kind of get your coach's perspective on the draft. And before we get your thoughts on how it's shaping up this year, take us back to those early days of coaching. There was, 16 rounds in the draft. What were your draft philosophies and the do's and don'ts?
Well, you know, in the old days, you had so many choices. So you spread your time and evaluation over so many more players. But today they do so much more detailed work and spend more money on fewer players. And, that almost, you know, as an old coach, you start thinking, how can you spend so much money and only get to pick seven guys?
Uh-huh.
When you think if you spend more money, you're going to get to pick more. But that's just not how it works anymore. But if everything is more scientific, more technology, more evaluation processes, and all that kind of stuff today.
You know, Dick, talk to me about your approach and preparation. I mean, did you always know exactly what the team needed before each draft to, in order to be in the hunt and challenge for a Super Bowl?
Well, you know, the more experience I got draft time, you know, and the more mature and looking at everything, the more time you invested in the total evaluation process of not only how he physically played, but how his character, his background, his work ethic, everything.
Yeah.
Because you're investing so much money in fewer players, you know, in seven players rather than 16, you just can't afford to make a mistake. But the whole process becomes so much more sophisticated than it used to be.
We are visiting with one of the game's greatest coaches of all time. He is a legend. It's so wonderful to have with us tonight on this Friday, Dick Vermeil, right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Please chime in on our conversation. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports, and you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Now, Coach, you were just talking about character, and, you know, when you're making those draft decisions, it's one thing to have talent, but your thoughts on how perception, it really matters. Character really does count, doesn't it?
Well, you do, because you're investing a lot of money. And you don't want to, you know, you wouldn't buy a car that has a default in it, and because you're going to spend a lot of money on the car. Well, the same thing, you don't want to spend a lot of money on a player, even if he's got a lot of horsepower, you know, if he has some character flaws.
Right.
It just doesn't work very good that way. And I people do such a good job now. They have their own investigation teams. You know, the colleges are doing a better job, too. And you just have so much more information. You have to work at it a lot harder and invest more time.
Well, never before have we seen character matter as much, and it's been a big concern, a big talking point about the draft this year. Let me ask you this. Would you have pursued a player, a talented player, like Jameis Winston? I mean, obviously he's had some immaturity issues and some red flags.
Well, you know, my concern wouldn't be about what I know. My concern would be about what I don't know about him. What has he gotten away with that was never recorded? And so, really, I'm sure before they draft him, they will have every bit of information and personal interviews and everything with him to form an opinion, because they're going to put millions of dollars in this guy. And you just cannot make a mistake. If you do, you lose. You know, and you're wasting your owner's money. So I would be very skeptical with the first pick drafting anybody that had some flaws.
Hey, Dick Vermeil is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and I think back, what your last draft that you were involved in was in 2005. Tell us your approach in terms of how do you find a diamond in the rough? I mean, who were some of those players?
Jared Allen, my last draft, was a diamond in the rough. Fourth round pick that ends up being an all-pro and one of the leading sackers in the history of the National Football League. So, you know, that was a diamond in the rough, and that's a good expression because that's exactly what he was. Of course, Kurt Warner wasn't even drafted, so we signed him as a free agent out of the Arena League. But there are those guys. And what you hope to do is get great value picks at each round, and also pick somebody that's even better than you thought he was going to be. That's really rewarding.
Well, what are the keys to reconstructing a team? Because it is so different today than it was in the past.
Well, you have more people involved. So I think the key is to have a team working together, a selection group, a scouting group, a management team that's all working together. And you're not just satisfying one ego, one decision maker. You're working with a consensus of everybody you respect and pooling the information you have. And then it's still a crapshoot. You can do all that and still all of a sudden be disappointed, or all of a sudden be a little bit surprised.
Hey, Dick Vermeil is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. A 15-year NFL career, of course, spent 7 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. He left coaching in 1982 to begin his broadcasting career, was in that for 14 years, and then he returned to the NFL in 1997 as the head coach of the St. Louis Rams. He just mentioned Kurt Warner, of course, led the team to its first Super Bowl victory in the 99 season. It was glorious. So tell me this, since we're talking about the NFL draft, I mean, what was your approach in terms of with rookies making that transition? You have to assume that's so overwhelming, and you just can't overload those new players.
Oh, I know it. Well, see, I was fortunate. I had a very, very experienced personnel director in John Becker and Charlie Army. These guys had been there, and they'd been doing it. I'd been out for 14 years. I had final say, but I certainly listened to those people. And I moved up from the sixth pick in the draft to the first pick in the draft, trading with the Jets and Bill Parcells, so I could get Orlando Pace, because I've been watching him play all through the broadcasting career, and I just knew he was a Hall of Fame potential player and would love to have him as a foundation of that offensive line at the left tackle spot. And we were fortunate to be able to get that done, and of course, he's going to be a Hall of Fame player one day down the road.
That is certainly incredible. You know, Dick Vermeil, when we reflect on your career, just the importance of building a team through the draft, I think back, you accepted the challenge of a lifetime, turning around the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a franchise that hadn't even reached the playoffs since 1960. How were you able to finally get this team, this organization, this franchise to succeed?
Well, I think, you know, it's just hard work. Get people working together for all the right reasons. If you've got the right people doing the right things at the right time for the right reasons, with the right attitude, you got a good chance to win. If you don't, there's going to be some flaws and you aren't going to get it done. But all was just hard work. And it's tougher today in that the Players Association now control practice times and padded practices and off-season programs. And so it's just harder for a coach taking over a losing team being restricted to work at the same level of somebody's already beating you, okay? So I would find that difficult, but I'm sure people will do it. You know, Chip Kelly's done it well, or Andy Reid has done it well, taking over losing teams and winning. Mm-hmm. So it can be done. I would find it hard to do.
Having an exclusive conversation with legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil. He retired from football in 2006, 15 seasons as an NFL head coach, a 14-year career in broadcasting, as well as, did you know, coaching in college and on the high school level. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, as we reflect on his incredible career in the NFL. Hey, glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. Well, we've got a special guest that's joining us, Dick Vermeil, the legendary NFL coach. And as we reflect over just your glorious career, tell me, Dick, what was the most difficult aspect of your job? Because, you've got so many people that you got to please. You've got impatient owners. You've got critical fans. And just even, I would say, what the insecurity of the job. How did you deal with it?
Well, one of the most difficult things for me was cutting a player you really cared about.
Okay.
Especially after you coached him for a while. Because, you know, you're not taking a scholarship away from him. You're taking away his way of making a living. And there, sometimes it's over. And that always really, really bothered me. I always said, if that got easy to do, then I'd get out of coaching. But that was tough on me. That was the tough part. And it's the other thing was tough sometimes bringing your whole system of how you want to do things to get it to permeate the entire building and knock down the walls of communication in between the whole building. Sometimes that would take you a little time because people are set in their ways, used to doing it the way they were doing it, even though they were losing. Because they always hire a coach to take over a losing team.
Mm-hmm.
But knocking down those walls, the communication barriers, and bringing everybody together, that was a challenge.
You know, you talk about the challenge of that, and then all, as you just mentioned earlier, just letting players go. But how do you deal with and absorb just the criticism that comes with a job? Because that's got to be very, very hard.
Well, you know, when I was coaching, I did not read the paper or listen to the radio talk shows. John Wooden told me that a long time ago. He said, what they say about you is good probably isn't all true. What they say about you is bad is probably not all true, so why listen to it? You do not need the distraction. That's what he told me, and I followed his lead.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I think back a few years ago, we had Sooner Great on, J.C. Watts, and he talked about how tempting it is to be seduced by the cheer of the crowd. You know, you can go from a goat to a hero in the matter of one play, and you really have to separate yourself from that, correct?
Yeah, well, the media is so much bigger today and a driving force, you know, and the league is what it is today, actually, by a big percentage because of the power of the media and the emphasis is put on it and the coverage and all that kind of stuff today. But there are some negatives. Not everything you read is true and not everything you hear is true, and sometimes nobody is held responsible for what they say or what they write.
Hey, the 2015 NFL Draft is underway, and we got you covered right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Again, I'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports, and you can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Now, a couple of players we definitely want to highlight what we have on the show. You'd mentioned Kurt Warner. Just give us just one of those memorable moments with Kurt, obviously winning the Super Bowl in 99, but what was it like to have the opportunity to coach such an exceptional young man? I mean, he certainly was a winner.
Oh, no question. You know, you didn't know what you had originally. You know, you didn't know. And all of a sudden, he gets his opportunity, and he not only grows as a player, he grows as a person, you know, and you're spending more time with him, so you're getting to know him better. And then you're evaluating him under extreme pressure, a person with no exposure to extreme pressure in the National Football League, and you see him excel. It's just, it was an amazing experience, and I don't think it'll ever happen again. I don't think any player will go from having 18 snaps in an NFL career to the next year being the NFL player of the year. I don't think it'll ever be done again.
Well, it's hard to believe just his journey when you reflect on Kurt Warner. I mean, he was making, $5.50 an hour, you know, bagging groceries.
Bagging groceries, yeah. That's true.
I mean, that's just a miracle turnaround. Okay, the other guy I got to ask you about is Ron Jaworski, and he obviously has so much praise for you and just the impact you had on him personally and professionally. In fact, he's talked about that unequivocally, that any success that he has had as a father, as a player, as a husband, as a businessman is directly attributable to Dick Vermeil. How does it make you feel, Coach?
Well, it feels good. It's an exaggeration. It isn't all true, but I appreciate the fact that he feels that way. We all have people in our lives sometimes that are worthy of emulation, and if you're fortunate enough to be designated one of those guys in some guy's life, then that makes you feel real good. But Ron did what he did because of his heritage, his mom and his dad. I know them well. You know, hard work, good old-fashioned work ethic, and talent to back it up. And so it didn't have to be Dick Vermeil. If someone else would have been a coach and he'd done the same thing, it'd be as successful today as he is.
Dick Vermeil with us. Just a few more minutes at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Let's transition now. Talk to us about the love of your life right now, and that is the winemaking business that you were in. How were you able to make this transition and be so successful in making your own wine?
Well, we're not in the playoffs yet, the wine business, so we still got a ways to go. We won the Super Bowl in 3 years with the Rams. We have not done that in the wine business. So. Uh-huh. We sold 3,600 cases of wine last year. We sell a lot of them in Houston through Specs. They do a great job for us.
Yeah.
It's a good city, a great city. In fact, we just, my wife and I, Carol, we love coming there and spending time with the Pacini family and working the market there with Rodney Brown. But Specs does a great job for us. But we have a ways to go. We're getting better. We're having better sales now in both tasting rooms, the one in Napa and the one in the Calistoga. Our online sales are going up, and our club membership is getting back better. But we still have a ways to go, and hopefully in a couple of years we'll make the playoffs, meaning we'll do more than break even.
You know, the winemaking business, you mentioned this when you were in studio last time. I believe it was in the month of February, just how competitive it is. You know, crafting a wine, I would assume it's a kind of a subjective thing. I mean, who judges your wines to ensure, you know, consistently you're making a solid wine and that the consumer is pleased? How do you go about that, Dick?
Well, first, you have to have great fruit. And we get our grapes from the Freddie Annie Vineyard. It's 170-acre in the Napa Valley, in the city limits of Calistoga. The lady that runs the vineyard, 94 years old, she was my babysitter when I was born. And I love her dearly. She's
sure.
Like my second mother. Uh-huh. And, our grapes come from there, then it has to go in the hands of a great winemaker. And Paul Smith has been making our wine, and now we have Thomas Rivers Brown making our wine, and he's equivalent in the winemaking to what Tom Brady is to quarterback. This guy is the best.
Uh-huh.
So we're trying to take our wines to a new level, another level of achievement, and I think we can do that over the next couple of years. And Dick Vermeil won't have to sell it. It'll sell itself.
That's right. So tell all of our listeners across the country tonight where they can go and get Vermeil wines. They are amazing.
Yeah, well, you know, Specs does a good job there. But if people just Google Vermeil Wines, and Google Vermeil Wines, they'll see our story, and they'll see how small we are and how much fun we're having with it.
I know you are. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We look forward to your next visit to Houston, and we look forward to meeting Carol as well. Thank you so much, Coach Vermeil.
Well, thank you. I'll be in there in the fall, if not sooner.
Okay, sounds great. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You stay close. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. And normal data rates, they apply. So the 2015, the NFL Draft, it is underway. Tonight, we are going to zero in on one particular team, the New York Jets. They have a new general manager. And as a first-time as GM, I mean, he's been very aggressive. He's wasted no time with additions and subtractions to the roster in the offseason. It is a pleasure to have back with us Christian Dyer. He covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper. He also is a New York sports columnist and, proud to say, he's a contributor with Yahoo NFL coverage. He's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening, Christian. Nice to have you with us on this Friday night.
Yeah, good times, exciting times. Who doesn't love the NFL draft? We're right in the middle of it right now.
Absolutely. And it gives fans, especially Jet fans, it gives them a sense of hope because they were 4-12. It was a nightmare in 2014. Got to ask you this. You know, Christian, what were the draft objectives and those top priorities leading into this?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of fans kind of came in with the expectation perhaps about a month and a half ago that the quarterback situation would be the one that would be addressed in the first round. There was hope maybe that they would be able to tank the season and be able to get into the Jameis Winston stakes, you know, lose it for Winston, if you will. And then they also had, you know, Marcus Mariota rated very highly as well, the guy who was the Maxwell Award winner, won the Heisman as the nation's top college quarterback. But none of those things are going to pan out. And I don't know if there was ever a surefire solution for the Jets after those two guys. And I think you could probably make the argument, Alyssa, that Jameis Winston in New York would have been a disaster all along to begin with. So I'm not sure he was even ever really a reliable option for this team. But when you look at the needs on this team, a lot of them were addressed during free agency. And in his first year as general manager of this team, Mike Maccagnan went out there and spent a lot of money. They had a big war chest coming into free agency. They bring in Darrell Revis, Antonio Cromartie. They trade for Brandon Marshall. Marcus Gilchrist is brought in to shore up the secondary. So the two big glaring needs on this team, at wide receiver and then in the secondary, and this was a secondary that last year was probably the worst in the league, they were able to address via free agency. So if you're not able to take care of the quarterback that you want in Mariota or Winston early on in the draft, and your secondary and wide receivers taken care of, the next big issues for this team would be outside linebacker. They need a good edge rusher for this 3-4 scheme, and Todd Bowles loves to blitz, so they need that guy. And offensive line, too. This is an offensive line unit that's getting a little bit older. So the good news is that free agency addressed a lot of the issue, and now the Jets can address needs through the draft.
You know, I think, Christian, you're spot on. I mean, the Jets, the need for speed, rebuilding their offensive line, the linebacker position. But as you just step back and you look at free agency, I mean, the offseason, it really has been an overwhelming success. What have we learned about this new general manager in Mike Maccagnan? I mean, he seems very aggressive with making some savvy moves.
He is the polar opposite of John Idzik, who was described last year by an ESPN reporter as moving at a glacial speed through free agency. It seemed like John Idzik was afraid of his own shadow in some ways. He didn't want to splash the money, didn't want to make the big deal. And I think Mike Maccagnan's coming in and throwing his chips around rather aggressively, perhaps too aggressively. You look at this secondary and what the Jets have accomplished. They signed Buster Schrein, who was a starting cornerback with the Cleveland Browns last year, and really did a good job in that secondary. They bring in Darrell Revis. They had Dee Milner, who was a first-round pick from 2 years ago. And then as if that wasn't enough, they offered big money to Antonio Cromartie. And sometimes you get the sense that maybe Maccagnan's spending money just to spend the money. That's how much cap space the Jets had entering this offseason. And I think that would be a little bit of a concern for me moving forward. They've got some big pieces that they're going to have to look at and resign, potentially a Muhammad Wilkerson, who's in the final year of his original contract. This is an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. They're going to need money to keep him on board. He's one of the few young stars that they have. So Maccagnan's come off very strong, certainly during free agency, but the concern is there that maybe they've spent too much, that they should have kept money for some of these other big-name players they're going to have to keep in-house over the next couple of years.
Okay, Christian Dyer is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Metro New York newspaper he provides coverage for of the New York Jets. So as we reflect on the moves that have been made, what kind of dividends can these pay long-term?
Well, long-term is going to be the giant question mark. The deals are definitely structured for the Jets, and when I talk about the deals, I'm looking specifically at Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie, for these guys to be on the roster for 2 to 3 years. They're front-loaded in terms of the guaranteed money, so it gives the Jets some flexibility. I mean, these are guys in their late 20s, early 30s, who have a couple more years left in their prime. They sign long-term deals here. But with the contract flexibility that they have, you're essentially going to see Cromartie and Revis on this team for the next 2 to 3 years at most, and then the Jets will have to go through another cycle. What this does is it buys the team a little bit of time. You look at the draft picks from John Idzik's last two NFL drafts, and I know it sounds like I'm piling on the guy. He's no longer here in New York, but he didn't land big free agents, Alyssa, and he also only got one player from 20 draft picks that he had in Sheldon Richardson, who looks like a bona fide starter and star in the NFL. No one else has really panned out to be anything more than kind of a fringe, two-deep kind of player. So with these veterans that Mike Maccagnan brings in, it lets him roll the dice a little bit, perhaps be able to get potential guys. They don't have to necessarily come in and start right away, but they can begin to restock the cupboards, if you will. So Revis and Cromartie and Gilchrist and Schrein and Brandon Marshall and some of the other names that they've been able to bring in this offseason, Stephen Ridley as well, buys them a couple years to begin to bleed in new young talent to this team. They don't have to be ready to start week one, but maybe they'll be ready in a year or two to contribute.
You know, not to digress, Christian, but you've talked about Revis several times. The Jets were fined $100,000 for Woody Johnson, the owner of Woody Johnson's comments on Revis. You got to choose your words wisely. I'm always saying that to my boys as a mom, but the owner should know better, right?
Well, he should know better, yet it was a very innocent slip of the tongue, and I can't help but think that, you know, Woody Johnson's fined $100,000 for mentioning Darrell Revis's name and just mentioning him in a very vague sort of way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, properly deflated balls or improperly inflated balls, however you want to put it, in a playoff game, and you can get a Super Bowl ring out of it. So, you know, I think that there's a little bit here that the NFL needs to look at when we talk about tampering. What is truly tampering? But when you look at the end result, Darrell Revis, the best player to put on the Jets uniform since Broadway Joe, Namath, did so in the 60s and the 70s.
Wow.
If Woody Johnson has to spend $100,000 to send a message that we want this guy and incur tampering charges, I think Woody Johnson would spend 10 times that amount. That was the best $100,000 that Woody Johnson ever spent.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Christian Dyer. He covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper. He's a New York sports columnist. We're so proud. He's a contributor with Yahoo, our NFL coverage. And, of course, the 2015, the NFL season, it's going to be here. We're going to blink. It'll be here before you know it. How optimistic are you about the Jets that they can turn things around?
Well, I can't wait for football season to start because I was born in outside of Philadelphia. And as a Phillies fan, I am not looking forward to this summer. So football season can't come here fast enough, Alyssa. And I think that there is reason for optimism for the Jets. I'm not sure if they're quite ready to be a playoff team. Remember, this is a team that hasn't made the postseason since those consecutive AFC championship game runs in 2009 and 2010. So it has been a while. But 4-12 record a season ago, all of a sudden, Revis and Cromartie and Brandon Marshall, there are stars on this team. And that's something the Jets haven't had for several years as they've been going through this, it seems like, perpetual rebuilding process for about 4 years. This is a team that could finish with a winning record. The schedule is a bit more favorable than it has been the past couple years. Are they ready to supplant the New England Patriots atop the AFC East? No. But with a good, solid draft and the pieces that they have in place, I think that this is a team that's closer to being in the playoffs than any point they have been in the past 5 years. You're looking at 7, 8, 9 wins being very manageable for the Jets. And if one or two things break the right way, maybe they are double-digit and wild-card team.
The 2015 NFL Draft is underway. We're going one-on-one with Christian Dyer. He covers the New York Jets. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. It is Friday night. We're so glad you've made it a point to join us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, always delivering the biggest and the very best in sports. It's such a pleasure having a candid conversation with Christian Dyer. He covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper, a New York sports columnist, also a contributor with our Yahoo NFL coverage. Obviously, as we are zeroing in on the Jets, I mean, is this a team, a franchise, an organization? I mean, are they going to win more than 4 games coming into the season?
Well, I think that is a little bit of a question mark. Things can always go wrong. It is an older team, but they've made an awful lot of additions. It's going to come back to quarterback play, certainly, and there are question marks there. It's the most important position on the field. Do you trust Geno Smith, a player who for the past two seasons has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns, 25 touchdowns, 34 interceptions, showing that he does struggle in terms of ball control, his placement, his decision-making, all are major issues with this guy. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, someone coming off a season-ending leg injury with the Houston Texans last year, has never been a superstar quarterback, but he's solid, he's dependable. When you're throwing to a Brandon Marshall, an Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, who's kind of a bit unknown around the league, but the Jets rewarded with a long-term contract last year. He's almost automatic on third downs for this team. He brings some speed. He's able to stretch the field a little bit. If the Jets are able to get solid play at the quarterback position, and by that I mean, not all pro numbers from either Fitzpatrick or Geno Smith, but good, solid game management, this is a team that's going to win more than 4 games than they won last year. This is a team that can double its win total. It's a team that can be pointed in the right direction.
And, of course, the big coaching change, talking about Todd Bowles, 15 seasons as an NFL coach. Is he the right guy for the job?
He certainly is. And the reason why I say that is we're coming off 6 years of Rex Ryan here in New York. And while he was very entertaining, while this guy bled the team, he was the right man at the right time in 2009. He inherited a Jets team that had an awful lot of veteran presence on its roster. And there were good, solid core guys that they could kind of build around. I think about a Jericho Cotchery being one of those kind of guys who's still in the league now and was just a good character guy. Thomas Jones, another one who just recently retired, a hardworking, set things by example. Alan Faneca, of that same cloth. And he was the right head coach because he was willing to let them go out there, lead by example. And Rex Ryan is never going to be known as a disciplinarian. He is a player's coach to a fault. And yet when the Jets started to rebuild and had a younger team, he became the wrong man for the job because those young players needed a head coach who was willing to mentor, who was willing to be tough, who was going to bring discipline. And you look back to last year, early in the season in San Diego, Geno Smith and a number of teammates were late to a team meeting at the hotel on Saturday afternoon because they were at a movie and they lost track of time. Geno Smith goes out, starts that next week, and it's inexcusable that you have your quarterback, one of the young leaders on your team, supposedly, late to a team meeting without any kind of discipline, without any kind of message sent. And perhaps this is going to work for Rex in Buffalo, where there are a fair number of veteran players after the spending they've done the past few years. But here in New York, his act was wearing thin, and he needed that kind of tough-as-nails coach. And Todd Bowles brings that. He's a former NFL player. He's been a coordinator for a number of years. He was an interim head coach with the Miami Dolphins. And now he comes in, he brings a little more discipline. The players tell me he doesn't say a whole lot. And that's a change, and that's good, and that's okay. So I think the pendulum has swung back just a little bit here in New York. Is he going to be confused with the Tom Coughlins of the world and the Bill Belichicks and even the Bill Parcells and be that no-nonsense guy? No, Bowles gets it. But at the same token, there's now more accountability here with this team than there was in the past 6 years.
Well, and I will tell you, too, I've had a chance to just watch some interviews with him online, and you said that Todd Bowles, he gets it. He understands, too, just the importance, the value of chemistry, that he's trying to get the feel, the pulse, the vibe of the team, because you've got a lot of different personalities, and you've got to bring these guys together and have them become one.
That certainly is the case, and he is replacing a head coach that was very popular in this locker room. Rex Ryan is one of the most affable people you'll ever meet. He's a chameleon. He can fit into almost any setting, and his players knew that. His players loved it, and they didn't want to see him leave, and perhaps that's because they were riding on the hog. They had things too good, if you will. But with all that being said, I think Todd Bowles comes in and brings some accountability. He brings some determination and a sense of this is what it's going to mean to be a Jet. We do the right things on the field and off the field, and he's going to lead by example, and that's very much missing here the past few years.
Christian, you've talked a lot about Rex Ryan. Were you sad to see him go?
Oh, from a purely quotability point of view, uh-huh. Rex Ryan wrote a headline for you at least once. he would say something, that was just absolutely outlandish.
And it makes your job a whole lot easier, doesn't it?
It certainly was. And here was a guy who openly admitted to crying in front of his team in 2009 when he thought the team was going to miss the playoffs. And he would run onto the field the next year to celebrate a touchdown in the playoff win over the New England Patriots. That's who Rex Ryan was. He gave us the lines, I'm not going up there to kiss Bill Belichick's rings. It's true. Rex Ryan was great for fodder for the back page. He wrote his own headlines. But at a certain point, you got to start writing about wins if you're going to be getting a job in this town. And Rex Ryan wasn't able to produce that. Ironically, his best coaching job here in New York was 2 years ago when he kept his job with an 8-8 season with a roster that was bottom five in the league in terms of talent. I think Rex Ryan can be a tremendous head coach. I just think it might have to be at the college level. I'm not sure if he has the staying power to be an NFL head coach.
Do you think he's got a better situation in Buffalo?
I'm not necessarily sure about that, because we've seen through 6 years here in New York that Rex Ryan was unable to develop a quarterback. First it was Mark Sanchez, and then briefly we thought maybe it would be Tim Tebow, although he never got a start. And then now Geno Smith, and that's been a run of at least two starting quarterbacks over 6 years where the player has not developed in the pocket in terms of presence, in terms of technique. And I get it. Rex Ryan's a defensive mastermind. He can have a top five defense in the league almost any year if given the right personnel. But with all that being said, you need a quarterback to win in this league. And I'm not sure the situation right now in Buffalo with the quarterback situation is any better than it is currently in New York. In fact, it might be worse.
Okay, Christian Dyer is with us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. We're quickly running out of time, but we've carved out enough time to talk about Tim Tebow, because his time with the Jets, you had a chance to cover him for a year. Weigh in on his NFL return.
Well, if Tim Tebow is able to work on his mechanics, and by that I mean footwork, by that I mean his arm movement, by that I mean his ability to read a defense, and by that I mean his ability to make quick decisions, I think he'll be a tremendous quarterback. We haven't seen that yet from him, and those are four very big ifs that I rattled off. He has the size. He's a winner. He's a leader. You love the guy. He leaves it all out on the practice field every day. He's the first one on the field, the last one off. Any of the cliches you want to talk about are embodied by Tim Tebow. But on Sundays, you still want to see your quarterback be back there in the pocket and make good decisions. Tebow hasn't shown you that, but I like the move with all that being said. I think Chip Kelly is a guy who can develop quarterbacks, and if Tim Tebow can make those short to intermediate throws that this offense requires, then I think he could be a very good fit, and he could be an interesting matchup problem in Philadelphia. The problem is, Alyssa, he can throw the deep ball, but we've never seen him consistently, those 5 to 8 yard kind of routes that you need in this offense, be able to do it. If he can do that, then you might as well book his ticket to Canton right now.
How big of a threat is Tim Tebow to Mark Sanchez?
Well, we've seen here before them in New York that Mark Sanchez held on to the starting job with Tim Tebow here. And Mark Sanchez is the prototypical quarterback that you want for this offense. He gets the ball out of his hands quickly. He makes those short to intermediate throws. He's the polar opposite of Tim Tebow in terms of playing style. I'm not sure if the Tim Tebow that we saw a couple years ago with the New England Patriots and before that with the Jets, it's going to be a true threat to Mark Sanchez at this point. Sanchez looked very good at some junctures with the Philadelphia Eagles last year, but it remains to be seen if he can beat out a Sam Bradford or, let's say, potentially a Marcus Mariota, if he ends up landing with the Philadelphia Eagles at some point via trade or whatever machinations there might be. So I don't think that Tim Tebow that we saw a few years ago is ready to beat out Sanchez. If Tim Tebow has improved as a quarterback, then things become interesting.
Okay, Christian Dyer, who covers the New York Jets with the Metro New York newspaper. He's a New York sports columnist, also a contributor right here at Yahoo, our NFL coverage. Outstanding guest, great information, and we sure covered a lot of ground. Thank you so much, Christian. Look forward to catching up with you some more, all right?
Have a great weekend, Alyssa.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Remember to join us at Twitter, @eRadioSports, and we will be right back with much, much more.